Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. So over the last couple weeks, we've been in the middle of a sort of a mini sermon series called Spiritual Tune-Up, and today I want to talk about an important component of the spiritual life, and that is prayer. Just some basic parameters around prayer, like what is it and what isn't it. I've always enjoyed a good story about the power of prayer. My father came from the west side of Alabama and grew up in I think it was a version of the current Church of God, a Pentecostal denomination. I have family members still very involved there in Alabama in the Church of God. And in Pentecostal circles, it's not that uncommon to hear stories about healing. This story comes from a man named George Wood, who was a superintendent of the U.S. Assemblies of God, also a Pentecostal denomination. He writes, "When I was a boy, my sister left our home in Pennsylvania and traveled to Central Bible College. She had a lifelong problem with her eyesight. She had 20% vision in one eye and 50% vision in the other, and wore thick Coke bottle-like glasses with lenses, very thick. During a fall revival at the college, she had been praying at the altar and saw a vision of Jesus on the cross. She felt a voice saying to her, 'Doris, take off your glasses. In those years, if you wore glasses, you were prayed for on a regular basis that you would be healed, that your eyesight would be healed.' My sister had had enough of that, so she said, 'No.' Again, she felt the voice say to her, 'Doris, take off your glasses.' Again, her response was, 'No.' A third time, while she was having the vision of Jesus on the cross, she felt this voice say to her, 'Doris, take off your glasses.' She sensed it might be the Lord, so she prayed, 'Lord, if I take these glasses off, I don't ever want to put them on again.' Well, the vision disappeared. She opened her eyes, and she had perfect sight," he writes. "It's been 50 years. She has never put on a pair of glasses to this day." I love those stories, and they are out there. We have folks who have here at St. Andrews who have experienced miraculous instances of healing. And even as that is so, it is also very common to pray for healing and not see the change that we want to see. The musical artist, who is a person with faith, Sufjan Stevens, summarizes this in three short lines in a song about a friend who was terminally ill. "Tuesday night at the Bible study, we lift our hands and pray over your body, but nothing ever happens." We could put those two stories side by side and ask a lot of questions about the circumstances and what is different about them. And we could try to figure out, like, what is the difference? Is there a difference? And I think we would come away with just as many questions as we started with, that we don't know why healing happens in some instances and not others. But regardless, prayer is valuable. The prayer to be healed, the prayer to ask for healing, the prayer to ask to be near to God is actually the most important part of the prayer. And whether or not we are healed, well, that is a question for probably a different lifetime, a different time of being with God eternally, and asking a day when we will have answers that we would like to have. And prayer is much bigger. Prayer isn't, "God, may I have this?" Prayer encompasses, "May I have this?" as we're going to be reminded of in a moment. It encompasses other things too. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 about prayer. "Whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already received their reward." It's almost a humorous comment where, you know, these people are out there like, in bellicose ways, you know, praying in dramatic ways. Look at me, and God do this and God do that. He's like, yeah, that's about as good as that's going to get for them. But Jesus says, whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Then he continues, when you're praying, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do. They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here to earth. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, in other words, what we need to get through this day, and forgive us our debts or trespasses or sins as we've forgiven those who have sinned against us or our debtors. And don't bring us to a time of trial. Rescue us from the evil one. Now let's take a look at this passage. What are some of the things Jesus is saying about prayer? Well, first we see he's not at all impressed by people who offer flowery, polished prayers. And apparently there were a lot of them in Jesus' day, both Gentile and probably Jewish as well, who were praying to get a following or develop a reputation. Jesus sees right through this. He calls it out. It also appears that some of these prayers were, you know, very literary almost, and so that people could be impressed by the almost academic quality of them or the super spiritual literary quality of them. Jesus is not interested. He offers a model of prayer that by contrast is very simple. Now, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's not how most of us go around talking all the time. But Jesus is actually advocating for a street language kind of level of prayer. In other words, pray with normal words. And so he's saying, pray simply. God, you're holy. Holy is your name. Let your kingdom come to earth. Very kind of simple entreaties of God. So we praise God. We confess sin. We ask forgiveness. We forgive others. We ask for our simple needs to be met. And of course, there's more. Very simple. Don't make it too complicated, he says. This is about the connection between you and God, not about developing a reputation or doing something that's super religious. You know, sometimes we offer simple prayers and say, well, nothing's really happening. That's one outcome. Sometimes it's just not going to happen for whatever mysterious reason we don't know. Other times, it doesn't look like anything is happening. But maybe something in the background is. In fact, I'm going to backtrack for just a moment there. I say nothing happens. Actually, something does happen when we pray. We have prayed to God, and we are transformed because we have prayed to God. Even if I don't get what I want out of that prayer, I am still a different person because I have gone to God to pray. And I think sometimes there's more going on in the background with prayer than we realize. Sometimes, what if God is at work to encourage us and help us, but we're not aware of it? And what if the time horizon is very long? There's a Chicago area pastor named Lee Eklov. He tells the following story, I'll paraphrase parts of it, about a woman named Kathy, and she had a son who was profoundly, he was developmentally disabled in a profound way, eventually institutionalized. So he writes, when Nicholas was 8 or 9 years old, Kathy came to me and asked if the elders of our church would anoint and pray for Nicholas in keeping with James chapter 5. Kathy said she wasn't thinking that God might heal all of Nicholas's disabilities, but she simply felt that God wanted her to have the elders pray for him. She didn't know why. So one Sunday she brought him to church in a wheelchair, and after the service we met in my office, we anointed him with oil, and we prayed for him. When Kathy called me a night several years later, 25 years later, she had an interesting story. Now, Nicholas was now institutionalized, and Kathy visited him every week. But when she would show up, Nicholas could never really do anything but laugh when she walked in the room. It seemed like nothing had really ever changed with him, that he wasn't communicating. And so one time she went to the place where he was staying, and she had her annual consultation with the professionals of the care team. And in the course of that meeting, the speech therapist said, you know, I actually think Nicholas is making some progress. We've been using green and red cards for yes and no. He's learning to point at the right card in answer to some questions. Would you like to see this work? Kathy said, absolutely, of course. Her heart was pounding. So they went to Nicholas's room. The therapist held up the green and red cards and asked Nicholas, Nicholas, is your mom with us today? This is 25 years after, you know, since he was a boy. Nicholas pointed at the green card. Kathy could hardly believe it. Other questions convinced her that it wasn't an accident. He really did understand, and he really was trying to communicate. She called me, the pastor writing this, Lee, in tears to tell me her good news. All these years I'd visit him, she said, and I never knew if he even knew who I was. And now I know. He knows I'm his mother, and he's excited to see me. He's happy to see me. Kathy asked, do you remember when the elders prayed for Nicholas all those years ago? For me, this is God's answer. And then Eklov concludes, guess what I think about now when someone asks our elders to pray for them? It's easy to think of prayer as an empty ritual, but what if beneath the surface we're invoking something of God, we're tempting something of God to work, maybe not the way that we expect God to work, but work in the way that God chooses to work for this, in this time and place. There's another facet of this passage in Matthew I want to talk about. Again, Jesus is discouraging this public showboating kind of prayer. He says, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. The tone here is interesting. The Father sees in secret. Now, I did a little study on this. As best I can tell, just about everyone translates this Greek word here as secret. But as I delved into the Greek, it also carries this idea of something that is hidden, something that is concealed. This is a very intimate, private moment of connecting with God that is a bit mystical, I would say. Kyriakos Markidis is a sociologist. He has studied mystics of many types and met Father Maximos of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Father Maximos became a spiritual mentor to him. He, I think at the time, well, he was living on the island of Cyprus, I believe, near Mount Athos, which is the holy mountain of Eastern Orthodoxy, the mountain of prayer, if you will. And in that tradition, there's a very important prayer called the Jesus Prayer. It goes like this, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that prayer is prayed in repetition, even in synchronous with the breath. And the idea is that over time, that prayer permeates and heals a person. Markidis writes, Father Maximos claimed that this is one of the most potent medicines for the cure of the soul, the science of the sciences, precisely because it is the method, once mastered, that can lead of the opening of the doors toward God. Repeating these simple words by virtue of their power can lead us, Father Maximos said, into realms beyond words. So Markidis is following Father Maximus around as a sociologist and recording what happens as he meets different groups of people. And he records a conversation that is had about this prayer. And I'm also going to paraphrase parts of this. A woman named Teresa in this conversation said, I'm puzzled by what the fathers of the church say about the Jesus Prayer. They claim that when we pray, the mind, called the nous in Greek, must be on the heart. The mind must be on the heart. I don't understand what that means. Father Maximus replies, I appreciate your puzzlement. The tradition of the church teaches this as the prayer of the heart. When the church fathers say that the mind must unite with the heart or penetrate the heart, they don't mean this mind and this heart. They mean that the energy of the human mind must unite with the psychological and bodily powers of the person. It means that during our invocation of Christ, in other words, that prayer, the whole person becomes integrated as body, mind, soul, spirit. When the fall, referring to the fall of Eden, shattered the image of God inside us, we are asked to reassemble it during prayer and to make that an integral and unified whole again. So this way, this is how a person prays directly to God. The prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, that's the short version of the prayer, we can repeat it. It can help us enormously. And he's saying by opening the powers, the energies of our mind and our heart. Well, this is one tradition and one method among many. It's a very powerful one, but there are many traditions of prayer in the church. They're as diverse as the church is, the universal church. You can begin with something like the little devotional booklet. Sometimes we have them in the foyer, Our Daily Bread or The Upper Room. You can pray the hours. Author Phyllis Tickle has several books out that offer prayers for each hour, not each hour of the day, but each period of the day, the early morning, the late morning, the early afternoon, nighttime, prayers to pray before. And she's got volumes of prayers that you can just open up to the date and pray those prayers. You can start with something very simple like we do in our old household that we've done with all of our kids. It comes from the Alpha Course. Sorry, thank you, please. We go through our day and we take inventory and we say, God, sorry for this. Thank you for this. Please. So there's confession, there's gratitude, there's petition. Cynthia Bourgeot is an Episcopalian priest who is trained in ancient forms of meditative prayer. She writes and teaches about the prayer life, and in her book, The Heart of Centering Prayer, she offers this simple method. First step, choose a sacred word as the symbol of your willingness to consent to God's presence and action within. In other words, choose a word. Reminds you, it could be the word God, could be Jesus, could be Holy Spirit, could be Yahweh, could be whatever word reminds you of God. And that's your sort of your symbol of I'm here, I'm willing, I'm ready to pray. And then she says, that's the first step. Step two, sit comfortably, eyes closed, settle briefly, silently introduce that word into your mind. Introduce that word into your mind. Step three, when you start re-engaging with other thoughts again, gently nudge your mind back to the word. At the end of the prayer period, she says, remain in silence with your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. Very simple. The word, whatever word is connecting you with God, can be love, compassion, mercy. It's connecting you with the God of Jesus. Introduce the word into your mind. When you begin to stray from it, bring yourself back. Quick moment of silence. We're going to practice. We're not going to spend a long time doing it, but we're going to practice. So what's your word? What's your word? If you don't have one, may I suggest Jesus? The way Jesus talked to God was, and the Apostle Paul also called God Abba, which was an Aramaic word meaning father, a familiar father, like almost daddy, Abba. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, got your word? Okay, if you're comfortable, close your eyes. Feel your seat in the chair, your back against the chair. Let your shoulders rest. Connect with your breath. Be present. Be present to what's going on in your life and your body right now. Introduce that word into your mind. If your mind strays, just bring it back to that word. Just repeat it slowly, silently. Be open to the presence of God as you repeat it. Remember to breathe. God is as close to us as the breath. Almighty God, as we pray to you in that secret of our hearts, laying the mind on the heart, pray that you would transform us and that your presence might be known, that we might carry this peace with us out into the world this week. In Christ's name, amen.